If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, I have preached messages from this passage of Scripture before, but we are still talking about the subject of commitment. Okay? Commitment. How many of you would say that commitment is an important thing? Anybody? Commitment is important. Okay. Absolutely. And I'll furthermore say in that respect that to whom or what you're committed is important. Okay, that's the thing, right? Because, and truly speaking, everybody's committed to something, right? But just to what? And so the what matters, right? And so we've got to make sure that we're committed to the right what, right? To the right thing, and in this case, it's the right who, okay? And we need to make sure we're committed to God and His way, and if you will, His word, His principles. That's where the right commitment is. Okay? All of the commitment that we make outside of that is misguided, if you will. Okay? Because it needs to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. If we pay attention to that first, everything else will fall in line. Everybody know Matthew 6:33, right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be. So if we put God first and His principles first and His book first, everything else will fall into line. The same is true in the area of commitment. So with that said, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able. And again, I'll be brief tonight. This is just an introduction, okay, to this particular topic. And I'm going to read here just a little bit of this passage, in beginning in verse 14. You follow along silently. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, as I was reading there, I left off, and in verse 16, he said, "And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Okay, so this man goes and travels. He gives all of these men to their several ability, and then he takes his journey. Now, it is up to these men to be committed to their master. All right? Do they still have a master? Yes. But is he there directly? No. So in human nature, what tends to play out? The old adage, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Okay? And I've given some illustrations about that before in my childhood. I was not always a good son in that respect. Okay, but let me say this: that generally that's the case when we're not fully committed. When we're fully committed to something, it doesn't matter if the boss or the master is there or not. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. We're going to accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish because we're committed to accomplish it. All right, so. Tonight we're going to focus on and begin an introduction of this thing of the commitment of stewardship. We are managers, we are stewards, just as these men in this particular parable were stewards. They were managers because they were given something from the master that was still the master's. Okay, do you understand that everything that we have in this life has been given to us, but it's still God's? Okay, the life that we have has been given to us, but it's still God's. The children that we have been given to us, but they're still God's. The money that we have has been given to us, but it's still God's. Everything that we have has been, if you will, given to us, but it's still God's. Okay, so that doesn't make us owners. That makes us managers. That makes us stewards. So guess what? A good manager, right, is going to be committed to his master. He's going to be committed to what the master wants, to the master's desires, to the master's principles and ideas, etc. I'll explain as we go through this parable. You'll see that. And that's what a good manager does. A bad manager is not committed to the master. They're committed to themselves. And they're committed to their own philosophies and their own thoughts and their own desires and their own wants. Okay, and guess what? That's going to make them a bad manager. So we need to make sure that in the area of commitment, that we're committed in stewardship. That we're committed as a manager, not an owner. Because we are not our own. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our life has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, if we're born again. And guess what? The Holy Spirit lives in us. So He's living in us. That makes this His house, not our house, right? And so we've got to understand these things and be a good steward, committed to the master. So let's read this here. Look down as we continue to read. So he that had the five went and traded with the same and made them five other talents. Okay? Now I want you to skip down and I want you to go down here and in verse, let's see here, in verse 24. Then he which hath received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Now there's another passage in Luke chapter 19 that's very similar to this, only it uses a different number of talents. But they use another word for this particular Lord, and that they said that he was an astar, I can't even pronounce that word right, a star man, A-U-S-T-E-R-E, I can't, austere, okay, austere man. All right, he's a cow. A steer, get it? Haha. Okay. I told you I was on a fun thing there. An austere man. All right. I have a hard time with pronunciation sometimes, but that's the kind of man he was. And this, and again, Luke says this: taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow, etc. And so that was who this man was. Okay. So think about this: the master was that kind of man, right? What did the first steward or the first servant do with the five talents? He made five more. Is that what his master would have done? It seems like it, right? So did that servant then assume or take on the principles, the ideas, the philosophies of the master in his stewardship? It appears that way. Everybody with me? That makes him a good steward. That makes him committed to the master and to everything the master is and was, right? So look at the next one. But he, it says here verse 17. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. Okay, so we have another account of another man. A different man, right? This one servant was a different man. And the first verse gave us the idea that every man had different abilities. In here, in this room, all of us have different abilities. Is everybody okay with that? Yes. He gave them according to their several ability. That's what the Bible tells us. And so we have the one that had five. He followed the principles. He was committed to the master's cause and earned five other. The one that had the two, he had less ability. He wasn't able to handle five. The master knew that. But with the two that he had, he followed the master's principle, successfully managed, successfully stewarded that which he had and earned two more, following the master again. Everybody okay with this? You understand what this is, where this is going. Now look at the last guy. But he that had received the one, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now let me ask you a question. Is that what the master would have done with it? Absolutely not. Okay, absolutely not. And we know that by the testimony of the Master when he returns. So this is where we gain this principle about being committed to stewardship. And I do not like the you know, catchy little Christian phrase, what would Jesus do? Okay? But, and that whole little movement that is. But what would Jesus do, if you will, if he had the things that he has given to us with them? Right? And that's the question we need to ask ourselves is, am I the kind of manager that Christ would want me to be? Or, if you will, if Christ had this life to live, what would he do with it? If Christ had the 13 children that I have, what would he do with them? If he had the time that I have, what would he do with that? If he had the money that I had or don't have, what would he do with that? Okay? He'd go down to the lake and get a fish and get the money out of it. Maybe I should try that. Okay? Maybe that's why people fish. I don't know. Anyways, that's why. That would be great, wouldn't it? Do you see the thought process that I'm trying to take you down here? And this is what's important. Because I think so many times when it comes to stewardship of not just our time, which we've talked about recently, not just our abilities, which is kind of what we're talking about now, but we're also talking about the material possessions that we have, our treasure. Are we doing what the Master would do with those? Because to whom do they belong? The Master. And let me tell you, folks, he is returning. Okay, that's when? I don't know. Did these men know? No, they didn't. So do you understand that we have got to be realistic? We have to understand that he is coming back, and at every moment we need to be committed. You say, how do you know that's true? Look up to the previous verses before we started reading in verse 14. There is a parable of the 10 virgins. They were supposed to be waiting for the bridegroom. Some of them were prepared, and some of them were not. Do you see what Jesus says there in verse 12? But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You don't know. So if the Master would have tarried his coming, do you suppose the man that had five and had gained five other, once he had gained that fifth one, would have stopped? I don't think so. I think he'd have continued to gain, and if the Master would have tarried his coming even longer, 15, 20, 25, 30. Why? Because he was a committed steward. The guy that had two would be 2, 4, 6, 8. You know, you could just do the math on all that, right? And guess what? The one that did not follow and the one that was not committed to the Master would still have one. And that's where most of Christianity is today. Because they're not committed in stewardship to the Master. And here's the thing. Can that change at any time? It can't. During this story, let's just pretend that this process took a year. Okay, that seems fairly reasonable in many ways, shapes, or forms, right? By the way, back then, the Master didn't hop on a jet or a yacht or a train, you know, and go anywhere. He hopped on a donkey or a camel or maybe walked. He was a man of wealth, so he probably didn't walk. But do you understand that trips took a longer time back in these days? Okay, fair enough, right? In reference, just think about this. When the star appeared, right, it took the wise men nearly 2 years to get to Jesus from the east. Everybody okay with that? Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to burst some of your bubbles on your nativity scene. Okay? Spoiler alert! Sorry. That's why whenever I see a nativity scene and all the wise men are there, I sneak them. I put them off. I'll move them over here, like, to there. Because they're still traveling. Right? How many of you have done that? Come on, raise your hands. Yeah, some of you out there like me. Okay. But let's say it was a year, okay? At any point in that year, could the man that was working for five get lazy and stop? Sure. Or get distracted and stop, right? Get sidetracked. At any time, could the man that had the two do the same thing? Yes. And to be fair, at any time, could the man that had been given one went and dug it up and started putting it to work? Absolutely. Folks, for such is our lives. We cannot afford to let our guard down at any time. Many of you in here, if not all of you in here, are hardworking, good stewards. You're set on the Lord's work. You're set on doing what He wants you to do. And you've been doing it for many years, and you're doing a great job with it. And listen, that's wonderful. That's commendable. I think that's exemplary. But watch out. Because guess what? He's not back yet. Oh, but Pastor, I've been working. I was given five and I earned five more. I'm done. No. No, we're not done. Oh, Pastor, I'm a two-talent Christian and I've earned my other two and that's, I'm good. No. You see, that's why we're concerned with this principle. Lord, help us to be a true, committed steward of everything, all the time. As we look to this over the next several weeks, I want you to think about that. There's a story, and we'll get to it. There's a record, if you will, not a story so much. But remember that there was the record of the unjust steward. Remember him? In Luke 16, he wasted the goods of his master. The master said, hey, I'm going to fire you. Give me an account. That unjust steward wised up, didn't he? And he made good on many of the things. So you understand that we've got to realize that there's a principle of commitment to stewardship. I know you maybe not have heard these two together before, but I want you to understand that being a good manager, being a good steward is great. But being committed as a steward for the master is what we want to focus on. To be committed means to do it day after day after day after day. To not let up, to not let go, to not give in, to not give over, but to persevere. To continue to do that which we should do day after day after day until He comes. When He comes, we'll give an account. When we give an account and He issues the reward or the punishment, guess what we can do after that? Continue again. Because we'll see in this story that after he was done with the commendations and condemnation of the one, he still left them with those goods, and he gave the guy that had 10 another one. And they weren't for them to keep. They were for them to continue to work with. Because now he trusted them. Because they were committed stewards for the master.